Und
So,
damit
let's get
willkommen zur
started.
246. Ausgabe
Welcome to
von
the
Your Calling.
246th
Mein Name ist
edition of
Amelie
Your
Passmann und ich
Calling. My
bin
name is
seit
Amelie
April
Passmann
Hauptamtlich bei
and since April
Mercari.
I've
Bis
worked
heute ist
with
das
Your
erste
Calling
Webinar,
full time.
was ich
This
alleine
is my
moderiere.
first webinar that
Denn
I'm hosting
es
on
ist sehr
my own.
spannend. Heute
So this
vertrete
is
ich
very
nämlich
exciting for
Maximilian
me.
Fries, der
I'm
normalerweise auch
stepping
moderiert.
in for
Maximilian
Maximilian
fällt
Fries,
heute
who's
leider
usually the
krank und fällt
moderator, but
aus,
he
aber ich
fell
schicke ihm
ill.
einen schönen Gruß.
So he's sending his
Ganz
kindest
besonders begrüße ich
regards.
natürlich unsere
I'd like
heutigen
to give a warm
Diskussionsgäste,
welcome
die
to
wir gleich
today's
noch genauer
speakers.
vorstellen.
We're going
Aber
to
bevor es
introduce them in a
losgeht, gibt es
minute.
noch ein paar
But before we get
Hausmitteilungen, wie
started,
wir
I'd like
jedes
to give
Mal.
you some
Wir werden
quick
heute ein technisches
information. We're
Ausfall
going
zum
to
Ende
speak
sprechen.
German and
Solltet ihr dabei
English
eine
as well.
Unterstützung brauchen,
Should you
haben
need
wir wunderbare
assistance, we
Dolmetscherinnen
have
dabei. Unter dem
wonderful
kleinen
interpreters here with
Globus
us.
unten in der Kontrollleiste könnt ihr
In
die
the bar
Sprache
below, you can find
auswählen.
an icon, a small globe,
So
and you
just
can select
for
the language
everyone,
of your
today we will be
choice.
speaking a mix of German and English. If you need assistance with that, we have wonderful interpreters and you can select the language under the small globe in the control bar. We will also post instructions in the chat. Wie immer bei Your Calling könnt ihr
As
eure Fragen
usual with
stellen
your
oder Fragen der
calling, you're
anderen
welcome
Moderierenden.
to ask
Vollständig
questions. You
Zugänge
can
zu
rate the questions of
Slido
other
und den
people. We're
Link
using
dazu
Slido and we will
stellen wir
post
gleich in
the
den Chat.
link in the chat.
Genau, das sind viele Fragen, das heißt, bewertet gerne die Fragen der
So there
anderen,
are a
dann
lot of
so
questions.
können
Rate
wir die
other
Fragen stellen,
questions
die
as
am
well,
meisten
please, so we
interessieren.
can focus
Dabei
on the
ganz
questions that are
wichtig,
of most
bitte
interest
schreibt
for
euren
you.
Namen dazu.
Please also
Das
add
ist
your
viel
names
schöner, wenn
because it's
man
much
den
nicer
Namen
if you
kann nicht
can
andauernd
say the
anonym
name
oder
instead
so
of just
alt müssen.
saying anonymous user all the
Wie immer
time.
wird Your Calling auch
As
aufgezeichnet
usual,
und
your
danach
calling
auf
is
YouTube und als
also
Podcast online
recorded and
gestellt.
then
Bitte beachtet das, wenn ihr Fragen stellt.
put on
Und
YouTube
es
and
waren auch schon alle Hausmitteilungen für
published as
heute.
a
Dann
podcast.
übergebe
So
ich
please
an
keep this
Niklas
in mind when
Höhner, er
asking your
ist Experte
questions.
für
Now I'd like to
internationale
hand over to
Klimapolitik,
Niklas Höhner. He's an
Leiterin des
expert for
Guilbert
international
Instituts
climate
und
politics,
Professor an
head
der
of New
Wageningen
Climate
Universität.
Institute and professor at the
Professor Höhner
Wageningen
war auch dieses Mal
University.
live bei der COP mit dabei.
Once again, he attended
Genau,
COP
das
in
heißt, Niklas,
presence
starte bitte.
live. So Niklas, the floor is yours.
Danke, hallo erstmal an
Thank you so
alle.
much.
Schön, dass ihr alle da
I'm
seid.
so
Und danke an
delighted to
bei
have
Your
you all
Calling für
here
die
and thanks to Your
Einladung.
Calling for the invitation.
Ich wollte hier kurz 10 Minuten vorstellen,
I'd like
was aus
to
meiner Sicht bei
present
der
my
Konferenz
view and my
in Berlin
insights that I had
passiert
at the
ist. Das ist wirklich meine
conference at
Sicht.
Berlin.
Es gibt da viele,
This is only my
es
point
ist
of
sehr viel
view.
passiert auf
There
dieser
a lot of
Konferenz.
things happen at
Und
this
deswegen sind wir
conference.
auch
So there might be
drei
different points of
Speaker hier,
views.
die
So
das
this is why we
erklären
have
können.
three
Insofern,
speakers who can
ja,
explain the
meine
various
persönliche
aspects
Einschätzung hier,
and
was
this
da
is just
passiert ist
my
und was nicht
personal
passiert
opinion
ist.
of what happened and what didn't happen.
Die Slides sind auf Englisch, ich spreche aber auch
I
Deutsch.
have the slides in English, but I'm going
Und
to
wie
speak
gesagt, der Englisch, wie
German.
gesagt, die
And as mentioned
Interpreterin
before, if you
wird das
need
dann
an
übersetzen.
interpreter, an
So,
interpretation, feel
erst
free
als
to
allererstes, was ist die
change
COP
the
überhaupt?
channel.
Also
So what is COP?
eine Konferenz
COP is
der
a
Staaten, die
conference
sich zu
of the countries
internationalen
that
Klimaverträgen verpflichtet haben.
committed
Das sind
to
198
international climate
Staaten
agreements,
und einmal den einen
198
Vertrag, das ist
countries.
die United Nations Framework
So we have
Convention
one
on Climate
agreement, the
Change,
United
die
Nations Framework Convention on
Rahmenkonvention
Climate
zur Klimawandel
Change
von
from
1992, Kyoto Protokoll von
1992. We have Kyoto
und
Protocol from
das
1997
Pariser
and the
Klimaschutzabkommen von
Paris Agreement
2015. Das,
from
da, die treffen sich, also es
2015.
treffen sich
So these countries
Nationalstaaten
meet
und die
up.
Regierungen dieser Staaten
The
und die
governments
entscheiden dann
meet
gemeinsam
and
im
they make
Konsens. Das
decisions
heißt, da wird
on
überhaupt
a
nur irgendwas
consensual
entschieden,
basis.
wenn alle
So
Länder
decisions can only
mitsprechen
happen
und
if
kein
all
einziges dagegen
countries
ist.
agree unanimously and if no
Und es dürfen
countries
auch nur
against
Länder
that
abstimmen,
decision.
niemand
And
anders.
only
Und da
countries
kann man sich
can
direkt
vote.
vorstellen, das ist
So you can
extrem
imagine
schwierig,
that it is
dass da überhaupt
extremely
irgendwas zustande
difficult
kommt,
to
ist
make
schon wahnsinnig,
progress.
weil wirklich jedes
It's
einzelne Land
crazy
hier
because each and every country
veto einlegen
has
kann. Aber
to
trotzdem
agree
funktioniert es
and
irgendwie,
has
wieso
a right of
funktioniert es?
veto.
Weil eben
And it's working.
es
Why is
meistens
it
eine
working?
Präsidentschaft gibt,
Because
in
there's
Teilweise
usually a
Brasilien,
presidency. In
die
this
eben
case, it
versucht,
was
dass das alles
Brazil.
so
And
zusammenpasst und
the
alle
presidency is
irgendwie da unter
managing
einen Hut zu
the
bringen sind.
entire
Diese
conference.
Präsidentschaft kann nichts entscheiden, aber sie macht
The
eben
presidency
Vorschläge.
can't
Sie
make
macht Vorschläge, was
decisions,
dann
but
nachher zur Abstimmung oder
they
zur
propose
Verabschiedung
things and
gegeben wird.
also
Wie viele Leute laufen da rum?
propose
Viele,
decisions.
es
There are a
sind
lot of people.
11.000 Abgeordnete von
More than
Regierungen gewesen, das
11.000
sind
representatives from
12.000
governments, 12.000
Beobachtende gewesen. Da sind
observers
dann Gruppen dabei,
from
die
environmental
eben
groups,
Umweltverbände sind, aber auch Leute
but also
aus Unternehmen
business
sind da, aber
associations from companies,
junge Gruppen,
young people,
verschiedene religiöse
religious
Gruppen,
groups.
Völker.
indigenous
Gender ist
peoples groups,
dabei, aber
gender
auch
groups,
Research und
and also
Feedback ist
research
dabei.
and academia. So
Als
I
Research habe ich
also
das beobachtet von der Seite
represented
und dann sind da noch
academia.
4000 Journalisten
And
und
there are also
Journalistinnen dabei. Da sind
4,000
nochmal
journalists
eine ganze
present at
Menge
the
andere Leute
conference,
dabei, aber das sind
and
glaube ich
also
4000 oder
plenty of other
5000.
people. But I think these are the most important
Yes.
stakeholders present at the conference.
So, was ist da jetzt passiert?
What happened?
Eine Sache ist die Frage mit dem 1,5-Grad-Ziel. Also
So
von der
one
Klimaschutz
issue was the
bekommen wir ja, dass die
1.5
globale
degree
Erdtemperatur unter
target.
1,5 Grad
So the
bleiben wird.
Paris Agreement is
Und da war jetzt die
about
große Frage,
keeping global
was,
warming below
wie sieht es
1.5
überhaupt aus
degrees
mit 1,5
Celsius? And
Grad? Und das ist hier die
how is it looking?
Temperaturkurve der
What's
Erde.
it
Also
like?
das ist die
So this is the
globale
temperature
ermittelte
curve. This is the
Temperatur
global average temperature.
gemessen für jeden Monat. Also jeder Monat
And
hier ist so ein kleiner
measured for
Punkt.
each month.
Und das
So
war jetzt
each
von 1970
month is
bis
represented by
jetzt.
one
Und hier ist
dot
1,5
from
Grad. Moment, ich muss
1970
hier hin.
until
Okay.
today.
Könnt ihr sehen, ne?
So
Genau,
here you
also
can see
1,5
the
Grad ist hier und man sieht hier
1.5
eben,
degree
da waren
line.
fast alle Monate in
And
2024
in
waren schon über
2024, almost
1,5
all
Grad.
months were above 1.5
Hier gibt es ein
degree.
paar Monate, die vor kurzem, die unter 1,5
We've
Grad
recently
waren,
had a
aber das
couple of
ist jetzt
months
nicht der Fall
below
mehr.
that
Also wir müssen sagen,
threshold,
dass
but
in
most of the months were
2024
above. So in
wurde die
2024,
Mitteltemperatur
the
über
average
1,5
temperature was
Grad war.
above
Aber
1.5
dieses
degrees.
langjährige Mittel, das ist eigentlich das, was
But
zählt,
the
und jetzt macht es
long-term
auf einmal
average
das noch
is
nichts.
key,
Das wird
and the
1,5
long-term
Grad
average
nach
didn't
dem
achieve
jetzigen Stand,
1.5
aber
degree.
dann April 2029
But
erreichen.
on the current
Und weil
situation,
wir eben
this
jetzt hier
would
so hoch
be
sind,
reached by April
Temperaturen, haben wir eben
2029.
wahnsinnig hohe Temperaturen,
So
die wir
we've
so
had
vorher nie
record
gesehen haben, also
temperatures,
mit Höchsttemperaturen 40
unprecedented
Grad
record
in den
temperatures.
Gegenden,
Some
extrem
regions
warm,
reached
extreme
50
Dürre,
degrees,
extreme
extreme
Feuer.
droughts,
Aber weil eben die Luft
floods.
so warm ist, kann sie auch viel Wasser aufnehmen.
But
Deswegen
because
schrumpft die
the air is
tatsächlich die
so
Ozeantemperaturen auch
warm, it can
extrem warm.
absorb a
Und
lot
deswegen haben
of
wir zurzeit eben extreme Wetterereignisse wie Stürme.
water. So we have
Oder heute
extreme
in Jamaika mit
events,
305
hurricanes in
Kilometern
Jamaica, for
Ruhe,
instance,
jetzt
with
gerade
350 kilometers per
Regenfälle im Mittelmeer, wo
hour
eben
heavy
der
rains
Regen
in
von
the
einem halben Jahr an einem
Mediterranean,
einzelnen Tag
where the
runterfällt.
rain that
Also
usually happens
extrem
within
warm.
half a
Das ist
year
eben
came
wahr.
down in a very short amount
So,
of
jetzt ist die
time.
Frage, haben wir das 1,5-Grad-Ziel gerissen, ja oder nein? Also
So,
erstmal noch nicht. Das langjährige Mittel
is it still
ist
possible to
das.
achieve the 1.5
Aber was sehr
degree
interessant war, dass
target?
jetzt bei dieser Konferenz ziemlich alle
Well,
sich einig
yes,
waren, dass
but
es schon
this time
eigentlich nicht
everyone
mehr
agreed
vermeidbar ist,
that
ja, dass
it's
wir
almost
1,5
not
Grad
possible to
erreichen
avoid
werden, auch im langjährigen Mittel irgendwann
the
anfangs des
long-term average of
20. Jahrhunderts.
1.5 degrees.
Und das Wichtige hier ist, das bedeutet nicht, jetzt geben wir auf, sondern ganz im
But this
Gegenteil,
means that we shouldn't
es
give
gilt
up.
jetzt eben
So now it's even more
diesen
important than ever
Overshoot, ja, also dieses
to
Überschreiten der 1,5-Grad-Marke so klein
to
und so
keep the
kurz wie
overshoot
möglich zu halten. Ja,
as
also dieses
short and
1,5-Grad-Ziel,
as low as
obwohl
possible.
wir da so dran kratzen gerade, zählt immer
We're
noch
very
und wir müssen
close to
uns
this,
noch mehr
but
anstrengen, um eben
we
das
need to make
kurz wie
more
möglich und
efforts
so
to make
wenig wie
sure
möglich unter
that
1,5 Grad zu
we
bleiben. Und das
keep this
war sehr
overshoot to a
wichtig, dass
shoot
es
to a
jetzt zum
minimum.
allerersten Mal überhaupt
And it was
beschlossen
very
worden ist,
important
dass
that
jetzt
this
hier das,
was
was wir
decided for the
beschlossen
very
haben,
first
stimmt.
time. This is the decision, the text
Dass man das
that was
sagt, dass
adopted by the end
jetzt
of the
Nein
conference.
gilt, weil wir bei 1,5
And
Grad
everyone
sind.
agrees that we have to make sure that we achieve our targets.
Sache, die da rausgekommen ist. Eine andere wichtige Sache war, dass unter dem
Another
Paris
important
Klimaschutzabkommen
aspect
alle
was the
Länder alle
following.
5 Jahre
With Paris, all
ein
countries
neues Klimaschutzziel einreichen müssen.
have to
Und dieses
submit a
Jahr
new
hat es
targets,
25
climate
auch so,
targets
dass
every
Länder
5 years.
Klimaschutzziele für 2035
But
einreichen
this
wollten. Also
time, countries submitted
es
targets for
war irgendwie alle 5 Jahre
2035.
gibt es neue Ziele. Und ein wichtiger Punkt dieser Konferenz war, dass man neue Ziele einreicht.
So one of the
Und
key points of this
das
conference
ist
was the
passiert, aber
submission
leider
of new
sehr, sehr,
targets. This
sehr
happened,
langsam. Also
but very
im
slowly.
September
In
hatte
September,
erst ein Drittel der Länder überhaupt ein Ziel eingereicht.
less than a third of the
Und
countries
jetzt
submitted
inzwischen
targets.
haben zwei
By
Drittel
now,
ein Ziel
two-thirds
eingereicht,
of
also
the countries have
150
submitted
Länder
targets,
haben ein Gleiches
115
aus der
countries
78
in
Länder
total. But
eingereicht.
this means that
Und Deutschland hat
78
immer noch
haven't
nichts
submitted their
eingereicht, obwohl die
targets.
Deadline oder die Frist schon lange abgelaufen
And there
ist.
are also countries who haven't
Von
submitted their
denen,
targets
die eingereicht
despite the
haben, sind
deadline
sie relativ
having
ja,
passed.
enttäuschend
And
gewesen.
the targets that were
Bei den
submitted are
USA, die waren
quite
sehr früh mit eingereichen. Das war auch einer der
disappointing.
Beihilfen.
Some
Warum?
country, the
Weil das
United
Ziel zählt
States
eigentlich nicht mehr, weil
submitted the
Trump die
targets
Regierung
quite
aus
early, but this was under the
Klimaschutz
Biden
rausgeschmissen
administration,
hat.
and now
Und
with
das
Trump,
Ziel nicht
everything's
erreicht
looking
hat, aus dem Grund
differently.
geführt, dass andere dann eingesprungen sind. Und es der USA nachgemacht haben. Ganz im Gegenteil, da ist
So this
lange
means that the
diskutiert.
United States is no role, isn't
China
a role
auch
model
zwei Wochen
anymore.
vor der Konferenz eingereicht
China submitted the goals
und
2 weeks
leider eben ein Ziel,
before the
das
conference,
deren
and the Chinese target
Pfad nicht wirklich ändert.
it
Die
doesn't
EU hat
change the
zwei Tage
pathway
vor der
that China is
Konferenz
on.
ein Ziel eingereicht
The
und das ist
EU
auch
submitted a
sehr
target 2 days before the conference,
enttäuschend
and it
gewesen.
was
Und
also
dann gibt es
very
eben reifere
disappointing.
Ländern, die noch gar nicht eingereicht
And there are
haben, was
also a
zum
lot of
Beispiel
countries who
India,
haven't submitted anything.
Vietnam,
India,
Nepal.
Saudi Arabia, South Korea,
Also
Argentina,
da
and
muss
other
man sagen,
smaller countries,
das
for
hat
instance.
die Gesamtsituation leider nicht verändert.
So the
Aber
global
in
situation
dieser
didn't
Runde, es
change.
gab noch andere Runden vorher, wo Sachen
But there were
eingereicht
also
worden sind. Und
previous
deswegen wollte ich
rounds of
kurz zeigen,
submissions.
wo wir stehen. Das ist ein Bild,
So this is the current
das
state
wir
of
noch haben mit
play.
dem Projekt Climate Action Tracker, wo wir uns
We
angucken,
have the
wie
Project
die
Climate Action
globalen Treibhausgase
Tracker.
Emissionen über die Zeit
And
aussehen.
we
Und wir
observe
sehen
greenhouse
entlang des
gas
Jahrhunderts, eines
emissions.
Jahrhunderts. Das sind globale Emissionen,
These are
also nicht
global
historische
emissions.
Emissionen.
We have historical
Und
emissions.
das ist die Kurve, die wir bräuchten.
And
Ich
this
meine,
is
es
the
mag
curve
Ihnen
that we
klar
actually
sein, dass
need
auch
for a
wenn wir so nah dran ist, müssen
1.5
wir jetzt
degree
extrem
target.
schnell Emissionen reduzieren und
So we need to
gleichzeitig
reduce emissions
2030
quickly, as fast
wäre
as
das
possible
gewesen,
by
hätten wir in 2020
2035.
angefangen. Das wird sehr
And this
schwierig.
would have been possible if we had started
Und
by
dies hier
2020.
ist die Kurve, wo wir
This is going
sind
to be
mit allen
very difficult.
Maßnahmen, die wir
Now, this
uns
is the
nicht
curve where
endlich
we add
erhoffen,
if
sondern die
all
maßhalten. Und das ist die Kurve, die wir vor
countries
10 Jahren gewählt
actually
haben. Vor 10 Jahren
implement the
dachten wir,
measures. This was the
globale
curve 10
Emissionen
years ago.
ansteigen
We
bis
thought that
Ende
global
bis
emissions
zum Ende des
would
Jahrhunderts. Und dann wären wir bei
increase this
3,6.
way by the end of the century, and
Das war vor 10 Jahren. Heute glauben
we
wir das
would
nicht
reach
mehr. Das ist
3.6
gut.
degrees.
Also die Kurve ist weg.
Today the curve is
Heute glauben
different.
wir, dass wir eher in diese Richtung gehen, in Richtung 2,6
We're
Grad,
projecting
also die
this
Emissionen Maximum
trend,
erreichen, damit wir
2.6
zum 2030
degrees
eben
Celsius.
stark
So
runtergehen.
then we would achieve a
Das liegt
peak
an
at
den Windkraftanlagen,
2030, and
an
then
den erneuerbaren
the
Energien, die jetzt
emissions would
schneller fallen.
decline
Und das
because
wird
of
schlimmer werden.
renewable energies that
So
are on
sieht
the
das
rise
jetzt.
and other
Sieht schon mal besser
measures
aus
that are
als
being
vorher. 2,6 Grad ist immer
taken.
noch
So this is quite
schlimmer als
positive,
vorher,
but 2.6
aber es ist
degrees
schon
is
besser
still
als als
a
vorher.
disaster when it
So,
comes
und
to
das ist
climate
jetzt, was die Länder
change.
machen. Was sie vorschlagen zu
So this is what the
tun,
countries
sind
are
eben diese
proposing, but what they're actually
Emissionsreduktionsziele.
doing
Das ist diese Linie hier,
is
die
something else. So
Emissionsreduktionsziele,
we
die die Länder
have the
haben, die sie
emission reduction
vorschlagen,
targets.
2030,
The purple
2035. Die ändern
line.
ehrlich gesagt nicht wirklich viel an diesem Bild. Ja,
And
also
this
die
doesn't
Ziele,
change a
die
lot.
ändern sich bis 2030 und 2035
So the
gesetzt haben,
targets
damit
that the
sie
countries set
länger
themselves
als
for
2030
2030,
halten können, auch bei 2,6
2035,
Grad. Also das ist leider
they're
enttäuscht.
also at 2.6
Was
degrees
aber
Celsius,
gut
so this
ist,
doesn't change a
dass die
lot.
Länder auch langfristige Ziele
However,
setzen,
countries also set long-term
klimaneutral zu
goals.
werden.
For
Deutschland
instance, to become
2050,
climate-neutral. Germany wants to
2060,
become
China
climate-neutral
2060,
by
Indien 2070.
2045,
Und wenn wir die alle
India by
zusammenzählen, kommen wir an ein
2060.
optimistisches Szenario.
So if
Dann
we have a look at
knallen
this,
wir
then we get an
raus bei
optimistic
30%
scenario.
nicht so viel, aber
So
dann
2030,
gehen wir
there's not
runter
much happening, but
und dann
then
landen
the
wir bei
curve is
1,9
declining.
Grad bis
And then we can achieve 1.9 degrees Celsius by
Das
the end of the
ist
century.
schon mal sehr viel besser.
This looks
Auch
a lot
ein
better.
etwas, was das Pariser Klimaschutzabkommen sozusagen in die Welt gesetzt hat, dass man klimaneutral werden will.
Climate neutrality is
Die
also
Länder müssen
something
das
that
natürlich alles umsetzen.
was introduced
Aber
with
wenn
the
sie das
Paris
versprechen,
Agreement,
dann
countries
entwickelt
need
sich
to
das
implement this, need to make
in
this a
einer
reality, but I
sehr viel
think this is
besseren Lage als vorher.
has put us in a
Ihr
better
Pledges und
position than
Target
we
ist
were
das, was
before.
die Länder offiziell
Pledges and
zum
targets,
Pariser
the blue
Klimaschutzabkommen
line
eingereicht haben.
is what the countries
Und
officially
optimistischer
submitted
ist das, was Länder
to
sonst noch
Paris.
gesagt haben, aber
And
nicht eingereicht haben. Indien
the
zum Beispiel
optimistic scenario
hat
is what
gesagt,
people committed
wir tun
to
das,
but
was
didn't
hier
submit
offiziell
officially.
eingereicht ist. Und gibt es einen Unterschied? So, da stehen wir.
So this is the
Also
current state of
würde ich hier
play.
sagen, das Pariser Klimaschutzabkommen hat das
So
verbessert, ja,
Paris
aber das ist noch
led to
lange nicht
improvements,
genug und die
but this
Länder
is
müssen
not
deutlich nachlegen.
what we
Und
need.
auch ein
Countries need to
Problem ist,
speed
dass diese
up in their process.
Temperaturzahlen sich über die letzten paar Jahre nicht wirklich geändert haben.
And we see that over the
Aber es hat
past
sich
couple of
schon
years,
etwas
the
geändert in den
temperature
letzten paar Jahren. Und
hasn't changed that much, but in the
zumindest
past
sehen wir,
3 years,
das
there
ist das
is
Bild, das wir
some,
von 5 Jahren hatten. Also
there are
hier
some
ist
trends. So
derselbe
5 years
Kurs mit globalen
ago, this is
Emissionen, nur
the
jetzt von
curve with
2010
global
bis
emissions.
2050. Und hier ist eine
From
Kurve nach
2010 till 2050.
49, 59 Gigatonnen sind das CO2-Emissionen.
And here we can see the
Das war die Kurve, die wir
emissions
vor
of
5 Jahren
gigaton
hatten.
CO2.
Und
This was
das
the
ist die
curve 5
Kurve,
years
die wir
ago, and
heute
this is the
sehen.
current curve
Also
that we're
wir glauben
seeing.
heute,
Today we
Die
believe
Emissionen, das habt ihr
that
bestimmt mitbekommen, gehen weiter rauf. Ja,
emissions
die
will
werden auch sogar noch
increase
weiter raufgehen, wahrscheinlich bis zu 2030.
and they will
Aber
also
heute
increase
glauben
by
wir, dass die
2030, but
Emissionen
today we
danach
believe
schneller
that after
runtergehen können und
2030
einen Trigger
emissions
wahrscheinlich
will
bis
decrease
2040
faster
erreichen können, als wir
and
das
that
noch
they
vor 5
will
Jahren dachten.
even
Und diese
be
beiden Trends sind
below the
gegenwärtig und die
projections that we
geben
had
sich auch
5 years
fort.
ago by
Deswegen ist in
2050.
beiden Kurven die Temperatur bis zum Ende des Jahrhunderts gleich. Aber der Verlauf dorthin ist völlig anders. Also, wir haben das Paradoxon, dass
So we have a paradoxical
die
situation
Emissionen steigen immer
that
noch,
emissions
ja,
are
auch
still
diesmal
increasing
höher als letztes Jahr.
and we still have
Aber
high emissions this year than we
wir
had the year
hoffen,
before,
dass die
but we
Emissionen
still
danach
hope
schneller runtergehen
that
können. Das liegt eben
emissions will
daran, dass
decrease faster
die erneuerbaren
afterwards.
Energien immer
What are
schneller
the
entwickelt
reasons
werden,
for
also
that? We
exponentiell
have
sich
more
ausbreiten.
renewable
Und wir das noch
energies
jedes Jahr unterschätzt haben, wie
and we've
schnell das geht.
underestimated the impact of
Also,
renewable energies
diese
and how this can
schwarzen
speed
Linien
up
hier
the
sind sowas
process.
wie
We have black
vorhergehende
lines here.
der
These were the
vergangenen Jahre
forecasts of
und
the
die gehen
previous
hier bis zu
years.
ihrer Kritikgrenze.
And then we also
Immer
see
schneller Wärme als
the
nichts.
arrow
Es ist
showing the
klar, wir
reality.
brauchen
So we have
elektrische
new
Elektroautos, wir brauchen
solar
elektrische Batterien.
additions. We
Also,
have
alles
electric
geht im Prinzip
vehicles and we
schneller. Und
have
weil das so
battery
schnell geht,
sales.
hoffen wir
And because
jedenfalls,
of
dass
the
auch
speedy
diese Prozess
process,
die
we
Emissionen
hope that
schneller
starting
runtergehen.
now emissions will decrease
Das ist natürlich
faster.
noch kommen, aber
But we'll have to
das.
see how this actually
So,
turns out to
und
be.
meine letzte Folie ist
So
die
this is my
zu,
last
was ist
slide.
sonst noch so passiert bei den Klimaverhandlungen? Also ich
What
habe
has happened
gesagt, was ich
at
schon gesagt hatte, du
COP?
hattest die nationalen Ziele
So
nicht
I
richtig
said that the
ausgehalten.
national targets were
Gibt
disappointing.
neue, aber ein Drittel
There are
fehlt
new
noch.
targets, but one third is still
Was ich auch schon
missing.
gesagt habe, ist, dass unser Ausblick auf die zukünftigen Emissionen besser geworden ist,
We
aber
have a
die
better
historischen
projection of future
Emissionen gehen
emissions,
noch
but
rauf.
historical emissions are
Dann
still
gab es
high.
noch andere Diskussionen, die hier
There
nicht
were
klaren
other
Treffenssequenzen.
discussions.
Zum Beispiel gab es eine sehr viel Diskussion über
For
eine
instance,
Roadmap vor
about a
Transition away from
roadmap
fossil
for
fuels, also einer
transitioning away
Abkehr
from
raus
fossil
in fossile
fuels.
Energien. Das Wort fossile Energien ist
Fossil
etwas,
fuels.
wo die
This is a
es
term
sehr schwierig war, es überhaupt
that's
in so ein
very
Agreement reinzukriegen,
difficult.
weil die
It was difficult to actually
Ölexportierenden
add this to the
das zu verhindern
agreement
wussten.
because
Ja,
oil exporting countries
und
wanted to
Ölexportierende
prevent
Länder wollten
this.
nicht, dass
They
man
didn't
überhaupt
want
fossile Energien oder fossile
to talk about
Brennstoffe
fossil fuels and the
nennen,
phasing out of fossil
weil
fuels.
ja, weil sie natürlich nicht wollen, dass man
Why? Well,
das,
because
sie wollen das Offensichtliche
they
nicht im Agreement haben. Ja, es ist offensichtlich,
obviously
wir
don't
machen
want
noch
to
kürzer, wenn
have
wir rausgehen aus Kohle und Gas. Aber diese Länder haben ja
this in
bisher
the
sehr starke
agreement that we have to
Emissionsbegrenzungen
phase out
gekennzeichnet.
of
Vor
fossil
2 Jahren
fuels.
hat das funktioniert, dieses
2 years
Wort Nennen
ago,
in dem
it worked
Abschlussdokument,
out.
das funktionierte
The
nur, weil
final
es in den
declaration
Vereinigten
actually
Arabischen
had
Emiraten
fossil
war
fuels
und die
in
Not so
it
hoch war, dass
because the
die
pressure was
anderen
high
arabischen Länder dem zugestimmt haben.
that those
Und
countries
zwar
had to
dieses
agree
Jahr
to
nicht
this declaration.
auch
But
und
this
haben
year, the
die
situation was
Atomkraft
different.
verhindert,
And the
dass in
countries
der Abschlusserklärung
successfully
nicht eine Form
prevented
von Fossil Fuels überhaupt
the fact
vorkommt,
that
weil
fossil
nicht die
fuels were
fossilen
actually
Energien
mentioned
genutzt
in the
wurden
final
im
declaration.
Fahrplan. Und das heißt, dass das jetzt offiziell nicht abgestimmt worden ist, aber
So
man
this
hat
means that this wasn't adopted and
trotzdem
this isn't part of the final text.
gesagt, dass Länder wie Kolumbien,
But countries like
Niederlande auch
Colombia or the
Brasilien, die
Netherlands,
Brasilien jetzt separat von dem offiziellen
with the help
Verhandlungsstrang
of
in der Konferenz
Brazil,
machen wollen, wo es
want
wirklich
to
geht,
host
über
a
dieses
separate
Fossilen
conference
Energien.
on their own.
Das klingt alles ein bisschen absurd, aber es ist
This may
halt die
seem
Art und
absurd,
Weise,
but
wie
this is
diese
the way
Konferenz
that this
funktioniert,
conference is
im
working.
Konsensprinzip, wenn ein Land sagt, das passt
So
nicht,
it's about
ist es eben nicht,
unanimity, and
außer
this is
die
very
anderen
difficult.
üben so viel Druck aus auf das Land, dass es dann
Nothing
plötzlich nicht mehr
happens
geht. Und in der
unless
jetzigen
there's
Weltlage, weil es
enough
eben so ist,
pressure for all countries to
niemand mehr viel
agrees
Druck
on
ausüben
something.
kann.
And
Und
this year there wasn't enough
das heißt aber
pressure.
nicht, dass nichts passiert. Also es
So
heißt nur,
this
dass es
doesn't
nicht
mean that nothing
abgestimmt worden ist
happened.
von allen.
But
Und dann ein
we
anderes
had had a
großes
text
Thema war
that
der
was
Tropic,
adopted.
war
Another
die
important topic was
tropischen
the
Wälder,
tropical
weil das war mit
forest
Absicht die
forever
Amazonas
facility
nicht ausbilden
because it
wollte,
was on
also auch
purpose that the
umgesetzt
event was
hat.
hosted in the
Zum
Amazon
Beispiel eben ein
region.
Tropical Forest Forever Facility ins Leben gerufen. Die wurde auch mit Geld
So the
bestückt, mit
facility
7
was
Milliarden
created
US-Dollar.
and
Deutschland hat 1 Milliarde gegeben, Norwegen
Germany
zwei,
contributed with $1 billion
eben die restliche Summe.
and
Das ist
also
doch auch
other
erstaunlich
countries
gut. Man
contributed
kann
to this fund.
zuschreiben, ob das der
And this
richtige
is a good
Weg ist,
thing. You
um
may
den
argue whether
Kolumbien
this is
mal
the
zu
right
schützen, ob das die richtige Art und
path
Weise ist.
ahead to protect the
Da
rainforest.
gibt es verschiedene Meinungen, aber dass man was tut
People
und
may
dass man
disagree on
da
this, but
Kolumbien
it's
bestimmt
a good thing that
den
things are
Kolumbien besser
happening.
schützen.
And that the rain
Grundsätzlich
and
machen
that
kann.
people agree
Also
that the
auch hier
rainforest
wollte man
needs
eigentlich einen
protection.
Fahrplan raus aus Abholzung beschließen. Auch das war
Actually, they
leider
wanted to agree
durchgegangen,
on a
das war jetzt nicht
roadmap
so.
to prevent deforestation, but this didn't
Noch
happen,
etwas, was beworben
unfortunately.
worden ist. Man hat sich im Bereich Anpassung
Adaptation
angepasst
is
an den
also a
Klimawandel
key factor.
geeinigt, weil wir wissen ja, dass die Temperatur steigt
We know that
oder
temperature is
steigen sollte,
increasing and
also
it's
Öl
still
und Gas
going to be
verbrennen, deswegen
increasing
wird es noch
because
steigen.
of
Also
the burning of
wir
fossil
werden den
fuels.
Klimawandel haben und deswegen
So we
müssen
will
wir
have
anpassen
climate
und wir
change. We have
müssen
climate change and we need to adapt to
bezahlen,
the situation. We
Klimawandel
need to pay for
beschleunigen,
that. So
Anpassungsfinanzierung
this is why the
verdreifachen.
Adaptation Fund
Hatte
was
man gehofft, das
tripled.
könnte man bis 2030 verdreifachen, aber das ist nicht
We
möglich.
hope
Wir
that
haben
this
hier
would
gesprochen
be
von
possible
35
by
Prozent.
2030,
Ja,
but
ich bin
now
gespannt, wie er
the
zurückkommt.
agreement is
Und man hat
to
sich auf Indikatoren
triple the
geeinigt,
fund
man
by
hat sich auf Anpassung
2035,
gemisst.
and indicators
Das
were also
klingt
agreed
auch
upon
technisch,
how to
aber ist
measure
auch
this.
wichtig,
This sounds
um
technical, but this is very
Zusammenvertrauen
important
zu generieren,
to
damit die Länder
foster
sich besser
trust
orientieren
among the
können.
countries.
Was müssen wir machen, um
So
diese
countries
Chance
are
bekommen,
aware
überhaupt
of what
diese
they actually need to do, what
Unterstützung zu
measures they
bekommen.
need to take to
Das
receive
ist
this
beschlossen
support.
worden.
So
Vieles, da sind
this
noch viele andere Dinge,
was
die beschlossen
agreed
worden
upon. Other
sind.
things were
Da gehe
agreed
ich
upon
gleich
as
später
well.
mal darauf
Maybe we're
ein.
going to talk about that in a minute.
Meine Bottom Line oder meine Quintessenz wäre,
My
dass
bottom line
diese
here is
Konferenz
that this conference
sozusagen die Minimal
achieved its
Erwartung erfüllt hat, dass
minimum
man sich
target.
überhaupt geeinigt hat. Und das
So
ist
yes,
der
there were some
jetzt doch sehr
agreements.
auseinanderdriftenden Welt gar nicht selbstverständlich.
And
Also
this
man hat
cannot be
sich
taken for
überhaupt
granted
geeinigt.
in our world
Aber
today. So this is a good thing,
insgesamt
but
ist der
still,
Prozess
overall, the process
sicher
is
in keinster Weise der
very
Klimakrise
slow
weltweit. Wir
and
sind vom Klimawandel bedrohten Ländern
facing the
nicht
climate
gefasst.
crisis we have, this is
Und das ist
just
auch
not
nicht der
enough.
Notfallmodus, den wir jetzt
This
eigentlich
is not the
bräuchten, sondern
emergency
wir
mode
müssen die
that we
restlichen
actually
Ressourcen
need
investieren, weil die
facing the
Klimakrise
climate challenge
extrem
that we have, the
gefährlich ist.
extreme weather events.
Das ist
This
alles
is
nie
very
passiert.
dangerous. There are a lot of
Kann
things
man
that
vielleicht
didn't
auch nicht
happen.
erwarten von diesem Prozess,
Maybe
aber ich
this
hätte
is
es mir
something that you
gewünscht,
cannot expect, but I
der
had hoped
Erfolg
for
ist
this.
so gravierend, dass wir eigentlich den Modus ändern
Because
müssen.
climate change is
Da wird sich sehnlich
very
nach einer
severe and
Klimakrise
we
der
actually
Klimawandel,
need
aber
to
noch schlimmer
switch
hätte
to
ich nicht. Das
emergency
ist ja
mode.
total auseinandergebrochen. Immerhin
But
haben jetzt
it
die
would have been
Länder sich
worse if
geeinigt,
nothing had happened and no
nun
agreement
mit dem
had been
Klimawandel.
found.
Soweit erstmal von mir
So
und
that's it from me. Emily, you have the floor again.
danke sehr für die Einordnung zu
thank
der
you
Klimakonferenz.
for this input
Je
and
näher der
this
nächste
insights
Beitrag
to the
ist,
climate
auch
conference. The
umso mehr
next
werde ich jetzt auch
presentation will
ins
be in
Englische
English.
rüberswitchen.
Because next up we will hear from Ed Jarvis, campaign manager from the Climate Majority Project in the United Kingdom. He will report on how the project is successfully addressing the issues of majorities for climate protection, and also talk about the conference. So, Ed,
Thank you
put
so
the
much.
spotlight on you.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much indeed for having me. Nicholas, thank you so much for doing a really comprehensive job on the data and the results coming out of that. So let me just start with where I am on where COP's got to, and then I'll get into the adaptation thing. So I think you're absolutely right, Nicholas. They are certainly not in emergency mode. It was an absolute minimal result from COP30, in my opinion, when I look at that data. And that's not to say that the COP process hasn't reaped benefit. As you say, the average temperatures, the expected projected temperatures at the end of the century are certainly lower than they would have been, but we're still in a catastrophic place. And that's the reality. So let's just focus on that for a moment. When we talk about a 2.6 degree planet by the end of the century, we are talking about the collapse of the Atlantic Gulf Stream. We're talking about massive loss of coral reefs. We're talking about massive loss of ice sheets. We're talking about the Amazon turning to savanna. We're talking about Earth's life system shutting down on quite a dramatic scale. Which means, so let's just be really clear about what this means, because I think it's important for us to have an idea of what this really means to us and to life on this planet. So in Northern Europe, this means the end of agriculture, if the Atlantic Ocean currents collapse, so the end of agriculture. It means drought and monsoon. It's sporadic and more intense in Asia and Africa. And it means all these fires we see in America and the floods and the fires in Australia intensifying.
So we're looking at a civilizational collapse risk here. And I think it's really important we say this out loud because we're not hearing this as bluntly as I'm putting it this evening. And I take no joy in saying this out loud from the media or from politicians. For whatever reason, we can get into that, but we're not hearing it. And what does this mean to people and to life on this planet? Well, it means huge displacement of people. We're already seeing 250 plus million people displaced by climate over the last 10 years. That is going to go through the roof, and we're going to see people dying. We're already seeing 400,000 people plus a year dying. That's a relatively conservative estimate. That's going to get worse. So, and it's they're going to be the most vulnerable people that suffer. So I think if you were to ask the vulnerable people that are currently suffering under the 1.5 degrees that we are racing through right now, they'd be in a they'd, they'd they wouldn't score the COP process as being successful at all. And whilst it has, and I'm definitely not saying it hasn't achieved benefits, it has failed to keep us within 1.5 degrees. And this has incredibly real implications, especially to the most vulnerable people on this planet. So I think that's really, really, really important. And I really appreciate, and I goosebump when I say this, I have an emotional reaction every time I say this out loud, and I'm sure people in the room are, but I think it's important. Unless we are radically honest about where we are, we won't make the right next steps. We won't get into the emergency mode that Nicholas was just talking about because we're really not there yet. The fact that all these countries have submitted their carbon emission, their nationally determined contributions, and it hasn't moved the needle on that 2.6, that is really, really not good at all. Understatement of the year. And the fact that fossil fuels were only tangentially mentioned through the UAE consensus is shocking. So what we've got, so let's think about the process. Just the process of the COP is it focuses on multilateralism, as Nicholas said. If you get a group of countries, in particular the fossil fuel countries, saying we don't want to do this, then it doesn't happen. So multilateralism has got us somewhere, but it's not enough. It's not getting us as far as we need to go. We have a process that doesn't impose enforcement on what people say they're going to do. So there's no coming back at people if they're not delivering on their carbon emission reduction targets. And we've got a conference that's got over 1,600 fossil fuel lobbyists in it. So it's not exactly set up for success. So where I go when I think about COP is absolutely, it can carry on. There are benefits there, definitely. But what we now need to think about, given the dire situation we're in, is we need to think about setting up coalitions of the willing, groups of countries that are willing to go harder and faster on emissions and on adaptation, and for them to use carbon border adjustments or make it economically incentivize the countries like Saudi Arabia, like Russia, like the big fossil fuel producing countries to get on the mitigation bus because they're not there at the moment. And we need to create some economic incentive and some economic pain through tariffs and subsidies, whatever it takes to get them on that bus. That's where I think we should be going in terms of process. So let me get over to, which brings me to adaptation. Yeah. So how are we going to get people engaging, re-engaging, recentering mitigation, and but also how do we focus on the fact that we're at now 1.5 degrees, so we need to do something about the climate changes here that is here. We are seeing more and more extreme events across the planet. So what I'll do is I'll share my screen. I've got some slides to take you through that hopefully will help. So I'm the campaign manager for the Strategic Adaptation for Emergency Resilience campaign in the UK with the Climate Majority Project. And in summary, we're saying climate change is here. We're not safe as a result of that, and we want to be safer. And how do we do that? To break down that, so there's a bit of animation here to break down that. What are we saying? As I say, climate change is here. We're at 1.5 degrees. We need to acknowledge that, and we need to do something about it. So we need to adapt to it. We need to adapt to the flooding, the increased risk of flooding, the more intense rain, the fires. We need to be thinking about how we manage the risks of those things down. And we need to do it in a way that works with reducing carbon emissions and in a way that works with ecology and regenerating ecology. So we're not talking about ever higher flood defenses. We're talking about re-wetting wetlands, for example. You know, let's do this in a way that's not super carbon intensive, like ever higher carbon flood defenses are, concrete flood defenses are. So it needs to be strategic, it needs to be transformative, it needs to have justice at its center, it needs to protect the most vulnerable, and it needs to be carbon reduction supporting, and it needs to be promoting nature. So the challenge is adaptation is massively underfunded, and that adaptation fund that we heard about, Nicholas just spoke about, what they've done is they've tripled the fund, brilliant, but they're robbing Peter to pay Paul by taking that 120 billion from the already existing 300 billion. So we're not really seeing an overall increase in the finance here. We're seeing a shuffling around of things. So it's great that they're talking about adaptation a little bit, but come on, we need to get some money invested into this. And the kind of adaptation that we're talking about is very much community-based, bottom-up adaptation. Absolutely, the governments need to think about infrastructure and all the rest of it. But we think at the Climate Majority Project that actually we want to see community, we want to support and showcase and help convene local communities in doing adaptation. So what we're hearing is 89% of the world's population want more action on climate, but they're not necessarily that sure. Certainly they want it from government, but they're not necessarily sure what they can do about it. And what we're saying is, well, look, enter adaptation. We've now got this window that's opened because we're at 1.5 degree. Adaptation in the sense of how do we improve, and I'll get onto some examples in this in a second, but how do we improve food resilience through growing? How do we improve flood resilience through working with nature, like the re-wetting of wetlands I just mentioned? How do we promote energy security through community energy projects and so on and so forth? Those things are really, really important for building community resilience and making us safer at that bottom-up level. It's essential also getting on this adaptation bus to accelerate greenhouse gas emission reduction and nature preservation. So we should be doing it in a way that does those things. But also, what will happen is as people start thinking about adaptation, they're going to go on a journey. So absolutely, they're going to be doing it for all the right reasons, and making your community more resilient is the right thing to do. But people will very quickly realize, oh, we're heading for a 2.6 degree planet. And we're potentially looking at the Atlantic Gulf Stream collapse, the AMOC collapse. So what we're which would mean that collapse would mean a reduction in temperatures of year in Europe of 10 degrees, which is catastrophic. Well, they're both catastrophic. How do you adapt to these two massive different ranges of temperatures? Well, it's really difficult. It's massively resource intensive. So our hope, our sincere hope, is adaptation will happen and people will start to realize that we really need to turn the tap off on carbon greenhouse gas emissions harder and faster than we've ever done before. So we see it as supportive. It's an entry point, a new entry point to getting greenhouse gas emissions down. And absolutely, we need to have climate justice and the most vulnerable at the heart of everything we're doing here. So there's some examples here. People say, oh, Ed, what do you mean by adaptation? And I've kind of hinted at it. So there's some really, and I'm happy to share these slides after. We've got some great examples here. So one is Kindling Farm, which is community-owned agroforestry. It's vegan. It's all plant-based, doing absolutely the right thing in terms of promoting food resilience, flood resilience, nature-based flood defenses, sponge meadows, tree planting. Got some great examples of that. And one thing the Climate Majority Project wants to do is showcase. We're not experts in any of these areas. What we want to do is help the movement become aware of itself so it knows that there's all this stuff going on, and also to help convene and connect so that we can learn how to do this in our communities. Fire risks. re-wetting wetland, re-wetting the landscape and putting in fire breaks, natural fire breaks, energy resilience. So how do we build energy resilience? There's a great example there of power station in London and heat and energy conservation combined. This is a, that last one is a great example of the overlap between when you're reducing carbon emissions by insulating properties, for example, where that actually helps with adaptation, because what you're doing is also you're making the property, you know, when in summer, when it's very, very hot, that insulation means that your property is cooler and you're doing this with your community. So the way we talk about adaptation is really, really important. We are not, for absolute clarity, saying that adaptation replaces mitigation. We need to do both now. We've got ourselves in a really dire situation. So they both need to be right at the front of what we're talking about and focusing on here. But we do need to be really honest. And hopefully, you know, in terms of how I opened and talking about what a 2.6 degree world looks like, we need to make adaptation tangible. We need some measurable adaptation. We need to show light on examples. We need to shift the frame from purely focusing on mitigation and purely focusing on emergency response to thinking about building preparedness, building resilience in communities. We want to keep fairness absolutely at the center. So adaptation is an expression of climate justice. And we want to use stories and slogans absolutely with to maximize the engagement with this idea. So we've got some goals here. I'm mindful. Emily, how long have I got? Just can I just check in with you?
Yeah, if you could wrap up in like 2 minutes.
Two minutes, right. Okay, that's absolutely fine. So we've got a number of goals as a campaign. We've got building awareness, building community resilience, and putting pressure on government. So that's where we're trying to push to. This is a win-win-win if we get this right, because you're building community, you're working with nature, you're decarbonizing, and actually working in your communities is a wonderful, joyful thing to do in its own right. In terms of what you can do, and this is my last slide. So what we're advocating for is get involved. Well, we're asking for volunteers at the Climate Majority Project to be advocates in the regions and locally and champion this. Let's make this part of every conversation. We've got a petition, and yeah, there's no apologies for the QR code being on there. If you're in the UK, we'd love you to sign and share that petition. We're trying to get a debate and a response from the government, so we're trying to get up to 10,000 signatures on that. We'd love your help in that. We've got a number of reports that are being released, and there's another one being released on December the 15th, so there's a webinar on that from us. We're very interested to hear people's stories, and actually, if there's people that have got on in your listeners that have got some great examples of adaptation, whether they're in the UK, Germany, or wherever, we'd be really interested to hear from them. And yeah, that's probably enough for me for now.
Thank you very much, Ed. Really nice. We'll get back to the your campaign later as well. Next up, we will have another speech in German, so I'm going to switch back to that. Wir begrüßen nämlich Carla Remsma. Sie ist bekannte Klimaaktivistin.
Carla Remsma, she's a world-renowned climate activist and speaker for Fridays for Future in Germany, and she also attended COP in Berlin, so she can give us share some direct insights into her movement. Carla, you have the floor. Hello, kind regards. My name is Carla. I'm a climate activist with Climate Fridays for Future, and for me it was my first climate conference. Since the existence of Fridays for Future, we sent small groups on site to organize actions, to talk about what happened, and I think one of the most important points was that it was a conference that during which there was a lot of civil action taking place in Egypt, in Azerbaijan, and in Dubai a couple of years ago. It wasn't possible to protest outside of the premises. Yes, on the UN premises, you can protest, but you're very limited. And now it was possible to organize much more. And in the countries such as Egypt, it's very difficult to organize something. People suffer from repressions and cannot organize themselves. And this year we had a lot of protests, also indigenous protests. So the focus of protests shifted. Usually NGOs organized themselves within the UN premises. And now the organizations could ask different questions. For instance, President Lula said that he wanted to talk about forest protection, but now he's also introducing new bills and laws that make it more difficult to protect forests. It makes pollution easier. And people protested against this, and people said, no, it's important to protect these ecosystems. And this is what our countries need. We need forest protection. And so this put forest protection at the center of this conference. Niklas also talked about the roadmap for deforestation. Deforestation is one of the huge issues. Forests are important to reduce emissions. The Amazon forest is responsible for the storage of CO2. And if the Amazon forest starts to become an emitter, then we have a huge problem. We also have a flagship project, the TFFF, so the Tropical Forest Forever Facility, a fund used to protect the forest, but this was also something that was criticized because it was organized at the stock market. It was about who gets money. Because it's important to make sure that the indigenous communities actually benefit from this fund. And this was at the heart of the conference, and I think we could see this dynamic happening. Maybe you noticed that the premises were used for these protests, and the wording was actually very strong. I mean, there weren't any riots or something, but people were present. People said that we need to talk about details. Yes, this is true, but we also need to talk about the broad issues. However, we can also see that the climate action movement has to restructure. We see that in UK, in Germany, but also internationally. In 2015, we discussed about 1.5 degree, the roadmap to achieve these goals, but now it's about adaptation. How can we implement these targets? It's very technical. It's about adaptation, mitigation, funds, just transition. We have a lot of abbreviations, a lot of terms, and especially English terms. So we see that we need to organize ourselves in at an international level. And for me as an activist, it's important to make sure that or to understand that climate conferences aren't the place where everything happens and where the world will be saved. This sets a baseline which allows us to continue our work. So after Paris, we needed to continue, we needed to keep working because we will never achieve our goal. This is a long process, a long pathway. And this also is true for this year's climate conference. The conference is just one moment where change can happen, but people sometimes are very tired. They worked for a long they work a long time, but they've prepared for a very, very long time. Now, when it comes to just transition, a lot of progress was made. People worked towards this goal for a long time. They prepared papers. They tried to create alliances. and try to find a way to actually implement their goals. However, this year it was a bit unexpected that fossil fuels were at the center. There was a coalition of the willing saying that we want to have fossil fuels mentioned in the final declaration. But it's weird that this is what you're, that it's only now that you're saying it. I mean, it was obvious from the very beginning, climate action requires the phasing out of fossil fuels, but we never managed to actually get there. We talked about unanimity, about the consensus principle. So, of course, it's difficult to achieve goals. We had high hopes, but they were disappointed at one point. But at the same point, there was a coalition of the willing that wants to make progress. I am disappointed. I think we need to reduce emissions as fast as possible. We need to phase out of fossil fuels right now. It's not just about building support, about, you know, just saying things without taking actions. And finally, we have countries coming together, trying to make change happen. Sorry, Carla, your connection isn't ideal. Maybe you can stop video, so your video, so then the connection might improve. Thank you. Is it better now? Yes, audio is better. So, of course, it's negotiations aren't easy. We have petrol countries on one side, like Saudi Arabia. But you shouldn't forget that for some countries, it's a driver for growth. These countries say that they're suffering from the consequences. And why should they phase out of fossil fuels right now? Because they need it for their economy. So we could see these blocks when it comes to this negotiation. Now, the United States is a very difficult topic. Rich countries are very important. So we see a geopolitical shift and a shift of power. Creating funds and financing were topics that were discussed intensely. And for me, as an activist, the results are disappointing. Yes, the climate conferences just set the baseline, but at the same time, we see that there has been a change over the previous years. Some countries say, yeah, it's just about achieving targets, we just talk about it. But now some countries are very serious about this. They say, and for some countries, phasing out of fossil fuels is difficult because it's a business model. There were 1,600 lobbyists saying that they don't want to phase out of fossil fuels because it's their business model and it's important for them. It's a driver for growth. And you could tell during the climate conference, and you could see this in the streets. And for us as a social society, it's important to know, to understand that climate conference is very important. We have 2 weeks per year when it's about this conference, but we also have 50 weeks per year where we can do things, where we can implement these targets, and where we can prepare the next conference. And we need to prepare for the next conference to make sure that we can achieve our goals even better. The EU supported the roadmap of fossil fuels. So EU can become a pioneer, a trailblazer. And this can be the foundation to tell people that this is what we agreed upon, and this is something that we need to think about when we move forward.
wurden, die Bekenntnisse, die gemacht wurden, mit. Und müssen natürlich aber zu Hause weiter dafür sorgen, dass eben bei nächsten Konferenzen.
We need to convince people outside of the EU, but also at home. Sometimes people say that there's no progress happening, but this isn't true either. Some things are happening, but it's not enough. More things need to be happening. We cannot just rely on this process. We also need to take action on our own. So this is my point of view.
We will now start the questions part of the webinar. We've had input from all the speakers, and I would like to start with a question for everyone. Maybe starting with Ed, because your project is called the Climate Majority Project, and it's a bit the question, how do you define majority? And then also for the other two speakers, how do we get a majority to care about climate change and to, you know, want to change things? So Ed, if you want to start off.
Yeah, so we know from, for example, things like the 89% project, it's definitely worth having a look, do a Google on that. We know that around the planet that there is 80 to 89% of the population that wants more action on climate. They want to see more things happening. So we know there's a majority of people out there that have got concern about this, but we need to turn that into action. Yeah, so those a large number of those people aren't necessarily doing, maybe they're recycling, maybe they're buying electric cars, but they're not getting to the level of action that we really need here, because we're being failed by the organizations and the governments that are, I would say, are abdicating their responsibility in this place. So when Carla talks about we need to do things on our own, I think we need to join and get involved in our communities, find that 89%, have a think about what risks we're actually exposed to from a climate perspective. So is it fire? Is it food? You know, where you know, you've got to think that through, find the people to do something about that with and get on and do it. And the sad situation is the cavalry isn't coming. We are our own cavalry in this situation, and we need to get on and find the people that care about and want more action on climate and get on and do it and demonstrate to our governments that this is what we need and be the change that we want to see in the world. So I think we know there's a majority. It's how do you engage with them? And what the Climate Majority Project is saying is adaptation is the... Sadly, we've got to the place where this is a new entry point for people to step in to that space. I would say also that we need to be really careful about using the word climate action, because it is turning a lot of people off, unfortunately. So we need to make this very, very relevant to the specific communities that are suffering that flood risk, that fire risk, that want to build food resilience, that are concerned about water resilience. When you start talking about those things rather than something a little bit esoteric like climate action, when you come at it from things that people really care about, our hope is that people will engage in that. And we're seeing that. What we need to do is shine more of a light on that and encourage people and show people what the art of the possible is. And we're also, certainly in the UK, coming back to that petition, we're trying to pressure government into actually funding this. I can go on, but I'll draw a line there.
Yes. If the others want to add to that, feel free.
Yeah, maybe a quick one. My understanding is that we already have a majority of people on this planet that want to do more on climate. Yeah, that's probably given. The issue is that a smaller amount of population that has something to lose. And the biggest one is the fossil fuel industry and oil exporting or countries basically that depend on this, and not even the whole countries, but certain individuals in these. Just as perspective, there's the largest estimate that I saw is that the fossil fuel industry makes a profit of $3 billion a day. Profit, yeah? Not turnover, profit, $3 billion a day. And there you can imagine, even if that number is not completely right, but you understand the order of magnitude, it's worth fighting against climate policy. And they do everything they can, you can imagine, to do this. And this is misinformation. This is sending people to COPs, 1,900 people, whatever. Yeah, it's really big. And that message basically floods the positive elements of climate policy. Yeah. So if we do this right, if we really think about high energy efficiency, renewable energy, and do it in a way that is socially just, then we can really, yeah, do something better. No, just imagine that you get from A to B with your public transport. It's cheap. You don't have to drive yourself. It's very nice. Or yeah, electricity is also, if we get it right, cheaper if we do it with renewables than we do it currently with fossil fuels. Or we are currently in Europe totally dependent on fossil fuels. We can be blackmailed by others. We spend 380 billion euros a year buying fossil fuels, and that money is burned. It's given to people we don't really want to make business with. So it's, the current system is really bad, and it, we have the opportunity here to set up a much, much better system if we do it right. And that if we do it right is the important part.
Yeah, and maybe want to add on to that, because I think both of you are like totally correct in saying we all need to make climate action concrete and talk about, yeah, where it affects people and where the climate crisis affects people. I think what we just also need to consider is that we always need to have people who talk about the necessity of climate action as climate action, because there will be measures which don't really make fun. There will be things which will be hard and where the benefits are not as obvious, because the system right now is as it is and it profits a lot of people. And at the, while at the same time, it makes the climate crisis worse. So I think it's really necessary that we also talk about the problems associated with fossil fuels, and that we talk about the necessity of climate crisis, climate protection on its own, even when it sometimes is hard and when there will be some measures which, yeah, don't make as much fun as, you know, as having good public transport. Yes, I think that's, you know, where we need to find a balance and where we also need to counter some of the arguments which people make, because it's not about prohibiting things because we love prohibiting stuff as like the more climate conscious people, but because some stuff is just not, has no place in a more just system, in a system which doesn't escalate this crisis anymore. And I think bringing that together and bridging these two like approaches is something which is really important when we also want to be taken seriously, because I think what is really, really, really important for all people concerned with the climate is that we are honest with our assessments, that we don't create pictures of where the transformation is going to be just easy and just nice, because there are going to be hardships, and that, because the other, like our enemies, they are not truthful, and they tell like stuff which isn't true. So I think we need to be like honest when we talk about stuff like that as well.
Thank you very much, all of you, for answering. There's been one question that was asked quite a lot, and I think the number 1,600 was mentioned earlier already, because there were a lot of fossil fuel lobbyists at the conference. And there's a lot of questions about why they're allowed at the conference and what the impact is, and kind of how they influence the decision. So if you have some input on that, that would be appreciated by a lot of people.
Maybe I can start. So I think they've always, like, the fact that they are allowed is dates back to, I think, actually, like, lobbying schemes from some countries who wanted the possibility of having them there, back in, like, the creation of how COP was created. And it was also, like, through, because COP is, like, an open conference, so there are, like, the 12,000 observers Niklas mentioned in the beginning, and a lot of them are, like, good people, are environmental NGOs who want to do more about climate protection. But some of them, you know, that makes it easy to register an organization and like slide into there just through that. So that kind of makes it hard to like really stop them from being there. Also, some of them come via like tickets of some of the like national part governments. So every national government gets like, depending on the size, an amount of ticket. And sometimes, especially like petrol countries, where, for example, also like the energy minister might be the president of or the CEO of the big national energy company. And they bring those people in there as well via their national tickets. And that is even more problematic, because those people have access to a lot of rooms other people, like the observers, don't have, because there are closed door meetings where only like party people are allowed. And if they come like via an accreditation through like a government, they can access those rooms as well. So now they try to limit that a bit, but it really doesn't work out. There, in I think now this year, this conference was the first one where you had to tick at the like first page when you register for the conference that the line, the goals of your organization and what you want to pursue at the conference is in line with the targets of the climate conference and the UNFCCC. But it's just like a tick on a like online form, so it really doesn't prevent any fossil fuel lobbyists from coming. So that really, yeah, is a problem. The World Health Organization actually was able to like kick all tobacco lobbyists out of like World Health Organization conferences. So there will be a way, and there's always lots of protests every year at the COP to kick out fossil fuel lobbyists. But so far, there hasn't been made a lot of progress. And I think especially those people who come via the like badges from the national governments, that's probably the hardest to combat, because you could find a way to do it with the observer organizations, but it's probably a lot harder because there's like, yeah, the governments have those rights too, and they can send whoever they want.
You want to add something, Ed?
Yeah, so that all makes complete sense, but is an outrage. It's an outrage that this system has been allowed to be captured by the fossil fuel industry and the fossil fuel producing countries like it has. It is a multilateral process, but that means it's the politics and the diplomacy of the lowest common denominator, sadly. And so what we're doing is we're barely managing to get the word fossil fuel into the final agreement. And in fact, it wasn't explicitly there, which is shocking after 30 COPs. But even if there weren't lobbyists there, we've got a big block of countries that are heavily invested in fossil fuels and see a future in it, sadly. So even if they weren't there, we'd still be struggling. And this is where I come back to, we really need to think so COP can trundle on and make the benefits it can. Are we going to get back to 1.5 degrees via COP? Well, no, I think if I was a betting person, I'd be putting a lot of money on that not happening, sadly. So what we need to get to is a coalition of the willing. We need those countries that are prepared to pull ahead, come together and create some economic incentives, and if necessary, some economic pain for those fossil fuel producing countries to get a move on in terms of mitigating. At the moment, we've got a number of countries that are they're digging fossil fuels out and encouraging the burning of them because they're not experiencing any pain. They're not seeing the economic advantage of not doing it. They're waiting perhaps for green energy to become cheaper and more profitable. We haven't got time for that. We've got to do something else. I can't remember who said it, but isn't insanity's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? We've got to do things differently. So I think there's something about having that coalition of the willing. There's something about reform of the COP process, so there's enforcement. And there's something now, things are so desperately dire, about communities coming together and focusing on how they support their own communities.
Thank you. Niklas, do you want to add anything as well?
I have many things, but let's take another question so that we get through.
Perfect. Yeah, Ed was just talking about the coalition of the willing, and we actually have quite some questions about that as well. For example, from Heiko, who's asking if there's a need for those, like a COP consisting only of those willing to protect the climate. If you do it with countries that already work together. And in connection to that, there's been other questions of, would it make sense if you put together the countries who are interested, for example, in leaving fossil fuels behind? Is that a conceivable idea to have such a coalition?
Maybe I can take that one. There's always several things there. So one is, we have this multilateral process, which is with all countries, and it has a reason of being, but it will not be able to solve the problem alone. Yeah, so just expecting that thing solves it is unreasonable. So it will not, and that's why already now you already have separate groups of countries that do certain things. You have the G20, you have the G7, you have actually a high ambition coalition. So there have been also groups working on steel. There's been initiatives on ending deforestation. There has been initiatives on electric mobility, all kinds of initiatives of countries and other actors that want to move forward. We counted at one point 700 of these kinds of initiatives that are already happening outside of the everybody in thing. And there's some good things about it because that puts pressure on other countries, but also these other initiatives are sometimes not really accountable and don't deliver what they promise. Yeah, so we have to be careful not that people have tried this. The one thing that I find very interesting now is that at this conference, it has been super apparent that a small group of countries is blocking the whole progress. Yeah, and that was so apparent this time that the other countries, at least 100 other countries, got really angry and said, okay, but then we do our roadmap somewhere else. And there's now a lot of momentum to do this somewhere else now. So it's what we said already, you know, Colombia and Netherlands will do this other conference in April where they will come up and discuss a roadmap out of fossil fuels. So this, the countries that have been blocking, they have been blocking so much that other countries are now fed up with it and do something else elsewhere. And I think that's a good movement. You should not stop the COP process. It's still important, but do all of these other things on the side. So that's in the end would be very useful. I hope that gets somewhere. Another one about this fossil fuel phase out is interesting because the EU was heavily arguing for a roadmap out of fossil fuels, and they probably would not have been so heavily lobbying for it if there hadn't been the opposition on the other hand. But that's the thing that we can all now take home and basically say, hey, you guys were there at the conference. You wanted to phase out all the fossil fuels. Now tell us, where is your policies to do this? Yeah, so many European countries are building new fossil fuel infrastructure, are starting to drill for new oil and gas, are building gas-fired power plants, making gas cheaper even. So all of this is happening. And because they have been so vocal on the international level, you can now hold them accountable at home. That they, promise something here, but they do something else at home. So I think that's an interesting way how to look at these international conferences, that they indeed change things and you can use them for something, even though it's going too slow for the whole problem.
And maybe to add on to that, because I think it's a really interesting development, as Niklas pointed out, that it also comes from countries or country blocs who are, like, Europe sees itself as a front runner of climate protection, but at the same time has been watering down its own ambition throughout the past years, and seeing them, you know, committing to phasing out fossil fuels on such a concrete level, I think is really interesting and also valuable. And it also shows that their forms, because we're now talking about climate policy in a time where geopolitics are so obvious, and where Donald Trump pulled out of the Paris Agreement also talks about energy dominance on an international level, saying they want to supply the whole world with fossil fuels, like oil and gas, especially. And there is, like, now this block of countries forming who say, no, we will not suborder ourselves to that type of world order. We will not just say, okay, yeah, that's how we do things now. After the EU just a few months ago has agreed to pursue, like, an energy deal with Donald Trump, saying, oh yeah, we just got to import more liquid gas and oil from you. So I think that's really interesting, because we see a movement of countries who say we're refusing this type of, like, very fossil world order, which is kind of, like, emerging right now. And that we see that there is this divide happening. Obviously, that is not yet a solution to the climate crisis, because we also need the petrol states phasing out. And we, like, need to stop fossil fuels everywhere, not just in 100 countries. But obviously, especially if those countries are countries like the EU, who are already using a lot of fossil fuels as well, and who are big importers, it's also something which can send a signal to countries which are exporting more that this is not the way of the future to go. And I think that's, like, a really interesting development, especially in a time where people sometimes say, yeah, oh, climate policy is not that relevant anymore because we have other factors in international geopolitics which are more obvious and more shaping the global landscape. But actually it is through this kind of, like, energy lens. And we see that there's those countries are out there who are, like, saying, no, we will not accept, like, this very fossil agenda, which is being pushed down through country like China, like India, petrostates, the US, and others.
Yeah. And I'd say those countries that do want to move ahead, they need to be really serious about creating economic incentives for the fossil fuel focused countries that aren't focused on mitigation and wanting to hold on to this old world order. We've seen Trump using tariffs for very, very much political reasons. Those countries I would encourage to really think seriously about two things, actually. It stop subsidizing fossil fuels in your own country. So let's get really serious about that. Let's really disengage and break the capture that the fossil fuel organizations, fossil fuel producing companies have got over countries, and let's get them to really come together and think about, well, how do we create a trading bloc that then forces people, charges tariffs on products that are carbon intensive, are that, the people aren't on this mitigation journey like we are. We've got to create some economic pain here. We've got to create some incentives. So it's not just about positive intention, that group of countries wanting to reduce, and go harder and faster on greenhouse gas emissions. We've got to encourage the people that have got that see a future for fossil fuels still, which is madness. We've got to create the economic circumstances where that is no longer in their advantage commercially.
Yes, thank you all very much. We have another question. It was asked by Amelie, not me though, so another Amelie. And that was whether there were any relevant discussions or outcomes on the topic of gender equitable climate policy at the COP30. I don't know, Carla or Niklas, you were there, if you heard anything about that.
So this COP actually produced like a gender action plan. So I think I am not too deep into the negotiations on that part, but at least a lot of the more feminist groups were quite happy with the fact that there now is a gender action plan, that it acknowledges the fact that women are often more affected by the climate crisis, but also hold knowledge for like climate solutions, especially as they're oftentimes engaged more in like sectors which are more sectors of the future, which are very transformative, which is care, education, agriculture, and a lot of like subsistence farming as well. Also, which is really interesting to see is that so some countries can like we've seen like with fossil fuels, for example, that's got completely blocked by a few countries. And here, this gender action plan, it went through, even though there were some countries like very strictly opposing it. That was something which was like very obvious in like the last in the closing plenary, maybe as like an anecdote from how that went, when they wanted to like say, yeah, we're now talking about the gender action plan. Saudi Arabia, Russia, I think Argentina or Paraguay, and the Holy See, who also holds a position at the UNFCCC conferences, all stepped up and were really vocal about the fact that gender has to be constructed in a binary term between man and woman, and that marriage also equals marriage between man and woman, and that they were very sincere on putting that as like a footnote into the text. Yeah, which was caused a lot of like disturbance by other groups who were like, yeah, can we move on? But apart from that, and apart from those interventions from some like very repressive countries, the gender action plan has been approved, and people were quite obviously it's not as much as people would have hoped for. I think that's very clear with this type of conferences. But it centers, yeah, women's experience in the climate crisis, and also their knowledge to the solutions.
Great, thank you. Then I would continue with a question for Niklas, and that was the forecasts for 2100, the year that you mentioned. Do they already include self-reinforcing effects after the tipping point? So, for example, methane gas from permafrost or less CO2 that's absorbed by forests? That was a question asked by Esther.
Thank you. Very good question. So we don't know the climate system exactly. We only know it with some probabilities. So whether we reach a tipping point, yes or no, we cannot say when exactly that's happening. We can only say it with a certain probability. And that's why also the temperature estimate that I showed by the end of the century, they have a large uncertainty band. Yeah, I didn't show it, and I should have basically, but I didn't. Anyway, it has a large uncertainty band. So that's what the temperature numbers that I provided here are done with a simple climate model, which basically is emulating a very complicated one, and the complicated one has all of the tipping points in there. So yes, that is in there, and it's shown in the uncertainty band. And just to give you an order of magnitude, so the 2.6 degrees that I said by the end of the century, that's where we're heading. There is still a 1 out of 3 chance that the temperature is above 3. Yeah, so 1 out of 3 chance that the temperature is above 3. And 2.6 is already bad, but 3 is definitely, we can't manage that situation. And we have a 1 out of 3 chance that we're in that kind of a world. And I think you would not enter a airplane of which you know that it will crash in a 1 out of 3 chance. Yeah, that's a risk you would not take. But on climate, we are taking that risk, and that is not a good idea. Yeah.
No, really not. Really not. So we're playing with things we just don't understand fully. We're taking huge risks with the future of humanity, the future of civilization. This couldn't be bigger. What faces us here is the biggest challenge we have ever faced as a species. Yeah. And we're playing with it. We're putting it at risk. And this is going to happen. I've got two teenage children. It's going to happen in their lifetime. I think we're going to see stuff. We're seeing stuff right now, but things are going to get really bad by the end of the century if we don't move the needle on the 2.6. Yeah. So instead of, hoping for the best and being optimistic, we should be cautious. We should be adopting the precautionary principle here and thinking these are the life support systems of all life on this planet. Yeah. So what are we going to do that's actually going to feel like we're in an emergency, which we absolutely are, and really make some progress on this? Because when we're just not making the progress we need to make. Absolutely, there's some progress happening at COP, and I get that. There is some there, and I'm not saying there's no progress being made, but we're not making anything like the progress we need to. This should be being in the news every day. Our politicians should make this a focus. It should have the same focus that COVID did. Yeah. This is going to make COVID look like a tea party in comparison. Yeah. So, where the sirens aren't going loud enough in my mind, and the action is not coming anywhere near where it needs to deal with this.
Yes, that indeed is quite the problem also with the attention. I have another question from Maximilian actually on how you see the connection between mitigation and adaptation. We talked about both things earlier. Do you think they can go hand in hand? And yeah, do you have any ideas? If so, how? Whoever has input on that.
Maybe I can start. So at this COP, we've really seen that adaptation is gaining a lot of traction. It is like incredibly important also in the negotiations. So what we've seen is that especially the global south countries and the least developing countries asked for or demanded 120 billion in adaptation finance until 2030. And now we have like the tripling of adaptation until 2035, which, if you read the numbers in a specific way, can equal those 120 billion, but it could also be a lot less, depending on, because there's no clear starting value where we actually start. And we've really seen that the countries which are most affected by the climate crisis really want to talk about adaptation because they say if we don't have the money to adapt and if we don't get the right support, none of the mitigation efforts will help us in the like short term because we are already experiencing so much of this crisis. If we just look at Eastern Asia right now, we had like typhoons, really destructive typhoons in Vietnam, in Thailand, in China in the past weeks, which all oftentimes costed like the access to electricity and water, cut off the access to electricity and water for more than 100,000 people. So we really see, okay, those people are already at the front line of the climate crisis, and adaptation is, kind of like not that much addressed. And those countries say we will not, say accept mitigation efforts without enough support for adaptation. At the same time, and I think that is also very clear, we cannot adapt to a global warming of 2.7 or 2.3 degrees. It's just not possible to adapt to that. So we always need to combine both efforts, and mitigation without adaptation and adaptation without mitigation will never be enough to actually protect people and planet from the worst consequences of the climate crisis. And I think we've really seen that throughout the negotiations, where a lot of countries were also kind of like opposing the roadmap to phase out fossil fuels, because they said, unless we don't get that money, we cannot accept to actually commit to phasing out fossil fuels to do that effort, which is especially for less developed countries quite hard, because oftentimes they don't have like such robust power systems and they might rely a lot on like fossil fuel generators. And that they said, okay, we actually need that money as well, because otherwise we will not accept a deal on a fossil phase out. And that made it quite easy for countries like Saudi Arabia, for example, to get them into like dropping the proposal on fossil fuel phase out, because the global north countries weren't that committed to adaptation finance. And we also see that this obviously, we are living like in a world where development also changes. So some countries are still, they want to profit from that adaptation finance, but there are countries like Saudi Arabia who still say they are a developing country. But we also know that there is like a really big difference between, for example, the development in Ethiopia versus Saudi Arabia. So that's also something which will be contested and again and again and again at coming time conferences, because you want to make those countries which are petrostates, which profit from the climate crisis and fossil fuels a lot, you actually want them to become like payers rather than taking some of that money. So we see that, and I think it's very clear that we cannot adapt to a world which warms as much as we see it right now. So all adaptation efforts only work if we mitigate as well.
Anything to add?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You've got to do both now. We've left it so late. We've got to mitigate we've got to adapt, because we've got 1.5 degrees. It's happening. It's on us and it's affecting the most vulnerable. And we've got to mitigate like we never had before. We've got to really imagine the hell out of the problem that we're in here now. So this is, it's like, what's the art of the possible? And this is what the Climate Majority Project is trying to do. It's trying to say, look, there's some real, so those examples I put on the slide on the screen earlier, happy to share them. There are some really, really good examples of where communities are coming together and doing adaptation in a way that's decarbonizing, taking greenhouse gas, reducing greenhouse gases, and promoting the ecosystem regeneration. So you've got a Venn diagram, kind of three circles, and there's a real sweet spot in the middle there, and you want to maximize that sweet spot as much as we can. Yeah, so let's, and I come back to the example of the flood defenses, you know, let's not just build super carbon intensive flood defenses. Let's think about how do we re-wet wetlands? How do we plant to avoid runoff? How do we grow in a way that's not destroying the, not heavily dependent upon pesticides? And, you know, let's do this in a way that works with mitigation and works with nature regeneration. And there's plenty of examples out there, and some of them I showed on the screen earlier. So it's just a matter of going out and finding them, thinking about what's happening in your community, what risks are you exposed to, finding the people, finding the 89% around you, seeing whether people are already acting in this space, getting involved with them and helping and supporting those organizations locally in your local community, and helping them. And if they're not, then getting on and creating and starting to think about how do you face into those risks. And we've got something of a way of helping people make those first steps, because I know it's quite, if you've never operated in this space, it can be quite daunting, but we can help a little bit in terms of how you get into this space, because we've got other people that have done it. We have to adapt and mitigate.
Yes, I think there's quite the agreement on that. If you don't want to add anything, Niklas, I would have another question for you. Perfect. So in Germany, but also in the EU as a whole, there's a lot of debate about rearming and, you know, with geopolitical tensions. How does that affect the climate? And are they already climate reaction to war and to rearmament, is that already included in the calculations?
that you presented?
To a certain extent, so the fossil fuels that are used by military operations and so on, that is usually in there somewhere, hidden. But I think the effect of greenhouse gas emissions from armed conflict is not that big that it would make a huge difference. But what is important is that the armed conflicts that we have right now, they take attention away from the issue. Yeah, so you have the wars that people are busy with, and climate policy and climate diplomacy actually only works if it has 100% attention. Yeah, and right now the attention of policymakers and also of the public is somewhere else, and it's taken by other issues, and climate is not on the top of the political agenda, and that makes these climate conferences even more complicated, but also very important, because in these 2 weeks when they are, all of a sudden climate is on the top of the political agenda, and countries are put on the spot and they are checked, are you doing the right thing or not? We are talking here right now, people have it in the news all the time. So this is a very important element of these international conferences, that in 2 weeks of the year, climate is the top priority topic. And a lot of light is shed on what individual governments are doing and what not. Yeah.
Yeah,
Just to,
thank you. Oh,
I was
yeah.
just going to say, just to build on that, I mean, yeah, it's a dire geopolitical situation in terms of threat of war. I would say that this is another reason why we need to think about adaptation. You know, certainly in the UK, we import around 40% of our food. Well, you know, if that situation were to change, either for climatic reasons or a combination of climatic and war reasons, we need to think very differently about how we supply food to our population, because that's a massive risk. That's not a good place to be in at this time in world history. So I would say that the threat of war and things deteriorating on that front, and touch wood that is not going to happen, but it's another reason. Again, let's be cautious and adopt the precautionary principle here and prepare for the worst.
Yeah, thank you for adding that perspective. Looking at the time, we need to wrap up soon, and I would like to end with one positive thing that you took from this climate conference. I think there's often a lot of rightfully so negative emotions also connected to yeah, the ongoing climate crisis. So if you could all very shortly mention one positive thing and maybe a call to action, like what can the people who are listening to this webinar, what can they actually do? Yeah, to get involved and to help.
Maybe I can start. So I think what was really positive is the fact that there was momentum on the fossil fuel phase out, and that even in times where this could be so contested, there are countries who actually step up there and talk about the most important issue when it comes to the climate crisis, and who made commitments, who also make clear that after the climate conference, they want to follow up on that in different like formats at different conferences and want to push that issue still. So I think that was really an unexpected and very good development. And at the same time, I think that's also something like the call to action, which we can take back home, that we can now put pressure on those governments, especially within EU governments too, and the German government, to actually like make clear that they still, like make sure that they stick to what they promised, because we know that kind of like right now it doesn't line up with what they do at home, but they have to like do it at home as well to make sure that we can actually come there and yeah, phase out fossil fuels fast and fair, and provide the right finance as well.
Yeah, I agree with that point. That's why I add another one, which was at the conference, you could really see what important role civil society plays. There was a lot of very diverse and great demonstrations, and I think that had a significant impact on how the delegates behaved over there. And that brings me to the point of action. It is very important how you all and we all act in our society. Be active, be out there, engage, use all of your time that you have available, and power to convince others and to really make a positive impact. It does make a huge difference what civil society does. So yeah, keep on the good work.
Yeah. So it's difficult to be massively positive about COP30. For me, it's the multilateralism, that show is still on the road, which is great, but it is so far away from missing the mark in terms of the emergency we're at. So I'll give it a positive in that the show's still on the road, but it's nowhere near where it needs to be in terms of keeping temperatures to an acceptable level. In terms of the call, I think civil society is massively important. And just to say, again, the cavalry really isn't coming. We are our own cavalry. We've got to get on and make our own community safer. So my call to action is find your community, think about what risks you're exposed to from a climate perspective, and get on and do something about it.
Yeah, thank you all so much for coming and for talking on the COP30. I think it was really good to shed light on what happened and also discuss what's up next. What's up next from your calling is next Monday on the 1st of December. We have a webinar on the solar revolution. Bill McKibben will come and talk about his new book, Here Comes the Sun, and then we will discuss it with Mara Kleine. So also to the listeners, if you want to keep going on the climate topic, be sure to make sure to be there next Monday. And for now, thank you everyone for coming, for listening, and for the great input that we had today. And have a great evening.
Thank you
Goodbye.
Very much.